Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Let's go!
This is the Big E Sports Show.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, here we go on this Saturday morning Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Hello, I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Would love to connect with you over the next 2 hours. We're always live on social media at eRadio Sports, info at eradiosports.com. Twice is nice. You can go back and listen to each and every one of our amazing guests. We've got an incredible lineup over the next 2 hours. Podcastarena.com and take us anywhere 24/7. Download our app, Sports Map Radio Network. He's always hanging out with me in studio. That is my producer, Sean A. Mapes. And you know what? He's fired up because the men's Final Four is getting underway tonight. What are you looking forward to the most? And Sean, perhaps, what is the most intriguing storyline when we look at these four teams?
Well, it's got to be Coach K playing possibly his last game tonight. If not, it'll be on Monday. First time ever Duke and North Carolina have ever met in the tournament. So it's going to be a big game. UNC ruined his retirement party at Cameron Indoor earlier this month. They have a chance to send him home for good. Promise they'll never be a last Coach K game ever. And that's the biggest story to me. And by the way, the winner gets to play for a national championship.
It's crazy. So I know tonight is going to be a super emotional game when we talk about Duke and North Carolina. Give us your view on Duke. I mean, are they playing their best basketball of the season? And you talk about that loss. There's kind of a, you know, revenge is a great motivator. There's a chip on their shoulder.
Exactly. That's why I do think, I'll head you off, I do think Duke is going to win tonight because of that. Because, A, they're playing absolutely tremendous basketball. They've really put on the gas on a couple of great teams, at Arkansas and Texas Tech. They've just gone absolutely bananas in the second half offensively. Paolo Banchero's playing well. And like you said, I don't think in the locker room it's going to fly to lose to North Carolina twice.
Okay, so we highlight and preview Duke, North Carolina, but the first game that will be up, of course, is the Jayhawks and Villanova, the Wildcats. How's this going to go down?
I mean, you talk about playing your best basketball at the right time. That's exactly what Kansas is doing.
Absolutely.
With how they shut down Miami in that second half. And then on the other hand, you have Villanova, who I really like Jay Wright as a coach, but losing Justin Moore in the Elite Eight, it's going to be a tough one to rebound from.
The Final Four conversation is going to continue here in Hour 1. You bet he is back with us. Legendary radio host from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City, and that is James Hale. But coming up next, legendary golf instructor. We love him, and that is Dave Hales. Come on back.
The Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back on this Saturday morning Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Did you know Progressive Insurance makes bundling home and auto so easy? And you can learn more at progressive.com. Hey, we are getting you ready for the Final Four tonight, and our coverage will continue here in Hour 1. But first, it's time to go inside the ropes. We're going to hit on some PGA news and notes. Of course, the Valero Texas Open is underway in San Antonio right now. But we're going to pack our bags, and we're going to head to Austin as we have extended an invitation to visit with legendary golf instructor, the great Mr. Dave Pels. It's your first time on the show in 2022. I trust all is well with you and your family, Dave.
Hey, let's say it's going great in Austin, and it's nice to talk to you again. It's been a while.
It has, and so we're going to lead things off with the biggest news from this past week, and of course, five-time Masters champion Tiger Woods played an 18-hole practice round at Augusta this past week, and I'm just wondering, Dave, like, what is your level of excitement? Because I am confident you are as excited as so many of us golf fans.
Well, you know, this time of year, it really is. The players kind of get my blood turning around, and then the Masters comes along, and then we roll right into the rest of the major season. So it's that time of year. I am excited. This has a possible little dent in it this year because I'm not sure Tiger's going to make it. I'll be amazed if he makes it. I mean, you know, I've broken my ankle once, and I've really smashed my foot a couple of times hard, but I've never crushed it. I've never had an injury like he had, and the feet are so important in the golf swing. I'm worried that he can, you know, make it for four rounds at Augusta because it's so hilly. People don't realize it that, for example, the 10th hole goes down 95 feet from the tee to the drive to where the drive stops, and then it's another 20 feet down to the green. So you climb back up that hill several times, up and down, during the course as you move around it. I don't know if he's got enough stamina. I don't know how he possibly could, but, you know, he's Tiger, so you never want to say no. But what I really hope is that he gets enough work and he gets going enough that in the next few years, he can be back there at the top contending.
You are listening to The Voice. Legendary golf instructor, the great Dave Pelz, is back with us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show, talking about Tiger Woods, his practice round at Augusta National this past week. I just have to wonder, what do you think will be the determining factor with his decision? And what do you think the ultimate goal was at that particular practice round?
Well, I think he wanted to feel that the hills of Augusta are really difficult, and some of them are very steep, right around some of the greens. You go down over the back of a green, and, I mean, it's really testing on your ankle, the strength of your ankle. So I believe it's not really his chipping or putting or driving that's concerning him as much. I think it's the strength of the foot and the ankle, how it will be after the second, third, and into the middle of the fourth round, because to compete at the highest level, you can't have fatigue in any one part of your body, including your brain. I mean, you got to have, I guess Augusta tests every part of every player's game. So I think it's his stamina in his foot that's what concerns me. Now, of course, I haven't talked to Tiger. I'm not in his camp, so I'm with him, but I sure wish him the best.
Well, you have certainly given us a sense of what it's like to walk, to play on Augusta's hilly terrain. I've been there myself. It is very challenging. You know, Tiger, he's a five-time winner at the Masters. Why do you think throughout the years that this course has suited his game so well and that he's just had such incredible success there?
Well, I think it's the greens at Augusta. I mean, it's not the driving. It's fairly open in the sense that you can play out of the rough in many, many areas of the course. I mean, I've seen Tiger drive it on the first hole into the ninth fairway, which is over a woods or through a woods. And he gets it back through. He can play shots when he hits bad shots. You can recover. But the greens, oh, my gosh. I mean, there
yeah.
Contours on the main course. There are contours on those greens, too. And at the speed that they roll and the smoothness, the ball just, you know, nothing rolls like a ball. And it just doesn't want to stop sometimes. I mean, I've seen many, many great players of that are at Augusta have to be among the best in the world even to get there. And I've seen, I can't tell you how many players chip it onto the ninth green, watch as the ball turns and goes down the green towards the hole, and then it just never stops. It goes down over the second level and the first level and then into the fairway and down the hill, and they've got a 70-yard wedge coming back to the green after their first putt. And those are the greatest players in the world, and I've seen probably 15 of them do that. It's really a difficult golf course to chip and to putt on. It's the ultimate test for short game and putting. And that's why there aren't any poor players that win at the Masters. There aren't any fluke winners. They're all great players, and they've all got to have all their game with them that week if they're going to win. I mean, it's a crowning jewel on any career, and the Tigers, he's been right there with his full game, full arsenal, and done it five times. You never know if he'll get a six, but I think Nicklaus has six, doesn't he? Who's the record?
Phil Mickelson's got, he's three times the Master Champion, won in 2004, 2006, and 2010.
Well, that's another little sad point. I'm sorry he's not going to be playing this year, but he's got the short game and the putting really, really dialed in every year for that. And he's hitting it well. He was always contending, so I'll miss him. But I'm still excited about the tournament. I mean, look at what's Scottie Scheffler did last week.
You know, absolutely.
He played in Austin. He's from Dallas. But he's really, he seems to be able to call up the shot when he needs it. And his putting is so good. He makes so many putts. So I think he's a dark horse here. He can't have enough experience, really, to know this as well as the other players. But he's sure playing well. He's a threat.
Yeah. And, you know, what do you think has been the key to his acceleration in 2022?
Well, I think it's an interesting little story that it's just, I'm kind of a third party watching him. I don't know him that well. But as I saw him start out on tour, you know, he played at Texas. And Jordan Spieth left the Texas team in Austin early. His coach told him, don't go, you're not ready. And Spieth went out and just conquered the world. I mean, he just won a couple of majors, and everybody thought he was going to be the best player that's ever played. And Jordan Spieth is just such an incredible putter that he did so well that Scottie Scheffler kind of looked at him as a role model, but he started playing, and he didn't win the U.S. Open the first time. The first tournament on the PGA Tour, and he's been a good player, and he's getting better. And the second year, you know, he plays in a Ryder Cup, and I think that's what turned him around.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, it didn't turn him around. What it did is it propped him up on a base of belief in his own self-belief in his own game, that he believed, look, these are the best players in the world, and I can, in fact, beat them. In fact, if one-on-one, I think I can beat every one of them. So with that belief, I think he started this season, and he's just shown it. I mean, three wins, and a lot of the season's still out there. So the major portions, he's going to be a factor. And I love him. I love his attitude. He's a nice man. I think it's good for the game. I think it's going to work in reverse, because, in truth, I think as Scheffler plays better, I think Spieth is going to play better. And so those Texas boys are going to be a factor.
Yeah, and what I hear you saying is you kind of like his chances at Augusta when we talk about Scottie Scheffler. I mean, he's had three wins in his last five starts. And you know what that tells me, Dave, is that, you know, he can adapt to any situation. He can adapt to any course across the country.
Listen, did you see, I don't know if you watched Liddell, but he's playing a great player, Dustin Johnson.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And he's playing wonderfully. Everything's going well. Well, the mm-hmm. game's easy when it's going well. But then Dustin Johnson wins four holes in a row. Scotty goes from five up with seven to go. He's now one up with three to go. Now, Dustin Johnson hits a 320-yard drive, perfect in the fairway. And what does Scheffler do? Hits a 330. So Dustin Johnson hits it up. He's in a bunker, but he's only 30 feet from the hole. And what does Scotty do after losing four holes in a row? He missed the hole by an inch with a 3-iron.
Yep.
Now, that from 270 yards, that's unbelievable. And then he knocks the play, rolls about 8 feet by, and he knocks it in. And he wins. How do you beat Dustin Johnson head-to-head when you're as young as Scottie Scheffler? Well, you've got to have something inside that says, I can do this. I really believe I can do this. And I think he's got that. He's got that it. And you know Spieth has it. I mean, he's proven it. So this Masters is going to be so exciting. I just can't wait. After all the downtime we've had with COVID and the negative news, I'm just sick of it. I'm ready for some good golf here, and I'm looking forward to next week.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with legendary golf instructor Dave Pels after this quick timeout.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. We are inside the ropes with legendary golf instructor Dave Pels. The Valero Texas Open, it is underway. And I just have to wonder, how does playing TPC San Antonio at the Oaks course, how does that prepare you for the Masters? And one thing, listen, my boys have played a lot of hill country golf. It's not easy, Dave.
You're right. Well, you know, it can be windy, which makes it really, really tough if it gets windy. And they have the greens in great condition. I mean, if they had bad greens, I don't think anybody would play down there the week before the Masters. But there are a lot of good players there, because when you have to figure out those putts, you're not going to have a lot of short putts. The courses aren't, the greens aren't built to funnel balls towards the hole. And that's similar to Augusta. You know, you've got to hit great shots to get short putts at Augusta. And that's what I think the attraction is. It's the difficulty, it's the competition, and it's the speed of the greens and the smoothness of the greens that attracts people there. So I think it's always a great tournament.
The countdown is on for the 2022 Masters, and I just have to wonder, how does one prepare mentally? You're talking about the short game, the greens. How do you prepare mentally for the Masters? What's some of the advice through the years that, you know, you've given your client, Phil Mickelson? Because how do you prevail on the world's greatest, you know, this is one of the world's greatest courses.
Well, I know for Phil in the past, we worked a lot on really the delicate wedge shots, the little bump and runs, putting from off the green, and putting itself. He has a green in his backyard. You know, I have 8 greens in my backyard.
And you do.
He used to play the Dell here, and every morning he'd be up at 6 and working on his short game until about 10. Then he'd drive to the golf course. So that's the week before the Masters. Patrick Reed was here for 2 days, solid days, when we're talking in the spring, you know, 10, 12-hour days. Out in my backyard working on his wedge game. And Patrick was here in 2018 and then left here, went to Augusta. Well, stopped in Houston at the house on Saturday and went to Augusta on the Sunday before and won the tournament. And when you don't make any bogeys at Augusta and you're putting well and you're a great player, which they all are there, pretty good ball strikers, you've got to have control of your short game and your putting. And your putting touch has to be great. The green in Phil's backyard, he keeps rolling at between 14 and 15 feet of green speed so that when he gets to Augusta, the greens are a little bit slower than he's prepared for, and everybody else is worrying about how fast they are, and he's just trying to get the ball to the hole, and it's worked very well in the past. I'm sorry he won't be there this year, but we're still going to have a great tournament. The game is in good shape, and it's moving forward. I'm probably going to have a hard time sleeping. I've got a 20-foot screen in my media room.
Yeah.
I do all my video editing there, and I just can't wait to sit in front of that. The players are as big as I am on the TV screen, and you know Augusta's quality of TV is so good. They broadcast in 4K, and their picture is the best you'll ever get.
Yes.
I mean, if you happen to have a 4K TV, boy, it's just an unbelievable picture. It's not like being there, but it's the next best thing.
Legendary golf instructor Dave Pelz with us just a few more minutes at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. You know, Dave, I mentioned in the open, you're just outside Austin, Texas in Dripping Springs. We've seen so many of your videos online of your famous backyard. You truly are living the dream. So tell us the inspiration about it. I mean, like, how did you build it? How long did it take? I mean, it's the ultimate backyard.
Well, the Wall Street Journal did, they heard about it and they came and they photographed it, and they named it the world's greatest backyard for a golfer. It's I think it's better than Phil's or Tiger's or any of the great players, because I have everything inside of 100 yards, and then I have a 400-yard driving range that, of course, I can't sniff the back end of that, but it's really nice. I can hit any shot in golf here. And there's no maintenance, Elisa. It's, I don't cut it. It's always perfect.
Yeah.
In fact, when we stop this interview, I'll probably go out and hit a few wedge shots just to feel good about it. Because we have good weather in Austin most of the year. There are probably about 10 or 15 days that I really don't want to be out there. But most of the time, it's good weather, and it's a great place to live. I don't live on a golf course. I live on golf.
Yeah.
So I can just step out in my skivvies. We've got 24.25 acres here. I can enjoy the game at any moment. I never lose any balls. I never have any penalty shots. I hit them in the water a lot, but because I've got really tight pin positions here. But I don't suffer with the penalties because they're my rules, you know.
That's right. Well, Dave, it has truly been such an incredible ride for you. I mean, you're a renowned coach, a legend in the business. Take us back. You know, when did you fall in love with the game? What's your story?
Well, my dad was a bit of a golfer, and he was shot in the mid-70s. And I wanted to be with my dad, and I went out to the course with him. And it was Boiling Springs Country Club in Lexington, Kentucky. I was not allowed on the course. I was young. But he would leave me on the putting green, and I was allowed to putt if I behaved myself, which I did. And so that was 4.5 hours of putting and short game practice. But I got to love the game. I played my first tournament when I was 7. I shot about 150, and I was in the fifth flight, but I was competing with this elderly gentleman, and the thing that really turned me, I mean, this may not be the instance that it happened, but I do one thing I remember from my youth. I am 7 years old. I play a man that's 77 years old, and, you know, neither one of us can play worth a lick, but we sure did compete. And at the end of it, we're shaking hands, and there happens to be a photographer, a reporter there, and we were in the newspaper. My picture was in the newspaper. I look it up at this real tall guy, and we're shaking hands, and they said 70 versus 77. What a game. And that was my start. I thought I was a hero. I thought I was going to be the greatest player on earth. Now, I fell a little short. There are a few guys that were better than I have ever been, but I sure have enjoyed the ride and trying to be among the best in the world, and then getting to work with among the best in the world and tell them how they can improve. It's been so much fun because golfers are nice. I mean, if you're a golfer, that's what Harvey Pinnick used to say. If you're a golfer, you're my friend.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is in golf, and I love it.
You know, Dave, you reflect on your memories with your dad, but how cool is it to get to work with your son? He is the Big E, Eddie.
He's unbelievable. He has traveled with me pretty much over the world. He's seen the golf courses.
Wonderful.
He's a friend of all the players. The players among them joke about what a good guy he is. Nobody doesn't like Eddie Pelz. He's just a really, really good person. I would put him in the category of the finest man I've ever met, so I'm very proud to be working with him.
Well, we have you on the program this morning. Obviously, short game, it is such a huge part of the game. You know, what does influence your golf score the most, and how much, you know, what percentage of time should you be spending and dedicate to your short game and to your putting?
Well, it's, you know, putting is almost half the game. You do a lot of it. But to me, it's not the most important because half of those putts are inside of 6 feet. And so if you just practice inside of 6 feet, you're going to be a pretty good putter. And then lag putting, pretty much everything outside of 10 feet, you're not going to one putt because the greens are too complex to know where to aim it to make it. So you practice your lag putting and your short putting. But the most important part of your game, if you're going to want to score, is the wedge game. You hit 7 to 10 wedges every round. I mean, every golfer does. The pros hit 7 to 10. Amateurs sometimes hit 15, 16, 17, 18 wedges because they don't hit any greens with their long iron. They're always chipping and pitching the ball to the green. And if you can get that ball to stop in what we call the golden 8 feet, you know, everybody makes all their two-footers. Nobody makes very many of their 10-footers. So the distance between 2 and 10 feet, that's what you're aiming for. And if you can get it to 5 feet, well, you'll make it way more than half the time. If you get it to 4 feet, oh, my gosh, 3 feet, a lot of people make almost all of them, high 90%. So it's the pitching, it's that wedge shot that turns 3 shots into 2 that determines, in large part, most golfers' scores.
So what's some advice you could give as far as some of the biggest mistakes that folks make with their chip and their pitch shots?
Well, if you'll allow me to say this, obviously it's a joke, but they haven't come to our schools yet.
Okay.
They give schools around the country,
yep.
And they're only short game and putting. We don't talk about the full swing, even mention it. You never hit a drive in the school. You spend 3 straight days working on your short game and your putting. And we indoctrinate the importance of it, how to do it, how to practice it, how to get better at it, even when you're at home, either on your home course practice area, putting greens, or in your backyard. Now, I built my backyard. The reason for it was to show golfers what you could do in your backyard to improve your game. I mean, my philosophy is practice Monday through Friday, afternoon and evenings in your own backyard, and then go score better than you've ever scored on Saturday and Sunday. Enjoy the game, play it on the weekends, practice during the week in your backyard, and you'll be the best you can be, depending on your own golf swing.
Yeah. What a great segue as we wrap up our interview with legendary golf instructor, that is Dave Pelz. Pelz Golf is offering summer golf schools at the following locations. I got to mark this down, PGA National in West Palm Beach. What an awesome facility. Where can some of our listeners, where can they go to find out more information, Dave?
PelzGolf.com. It's one word, PelzGolf.com. Everything is there. Grand Travis Resort in Michigan, Chateau Alain in Atlanta, Centennial, New York, Killeen Castle, Dublin, Ireland. It's pretty much all over. And so just go to PelzGolf.com and come and see us. you'll have a good time and your game will get better.
Absolutely. You've been listening to The Voice, legendary golf instructor. He is simply the best. Pelz.com, P-E-L-Z, golf.com. Check him out. Dave, thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday morning. We'll connect again real soon.
Lisa, you're the best. Love being with you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care. Much more coming your way. The fastest 2 hours in radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back with you, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Did you know Progressive Insurance makes bundling home and auto so easy? And you can learn more at progressive.com. Indeed, it is a big Saturday. The Final Four matchups in men's NCAA basketball, they are set. You got number one Kansas that will face Villanova later tonight, 6:09 Eastern Time on CBS. And Duke, North Carolina, that's a big-time matchup, 8:49. So looking forward to all the big games and wondering who will advance to reach the national title game. Hey, we're delighted to have back with us legendary radio host from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City, and that is James Hale. Good morning, James.
Hey, good morning, E. How are you? I'm surprised that you're not suiting up playing in that women's final four. So, hey, I think the women's game has really come so far. I don't miss the NCAA tournament. I watch a bunch of games on the women's side, too. And I know the men are fantastic, and it's been a great NCAA tournament, and we've got a great Final Four, but you have one on the women's side too, so it's been pretty spectacular, I think, to how it's broken down.
Well, and James, this is truly like our favorite time of the year. You just can't get enough of all the basketball and the
right.
madness. But I'm going to focus our attention. Let's start off our conversation on the men's tournament, specifically the Big 12 Conference, and zero in on the Jayhawks, 32-6. Do you give them the edge against Villanova? If so, what's the biggest factor?
Well, Villanova's lost one of their better players. And so, yeah, I do. Kansas is at 100%. Injuries do matter at this point in the year. Abaji is really a good place. Brown's a really good player. McCormick's a good center. Kansas has players. Isn't it ironic that, there was that investigation with Adidas, and, supposedly they had audio and even video of Bill Self. But yet here he is. He's in the Final Four, mm-hmm. and nobody can touch him. And yet they've hit Memphis with NCAA violations. So I don't know exactly what the NCAA is doing. But as far as watching a pure basketball game, this is going to be great. And don't think Villanova's not a blue blood, man. Villanova's really, really good. Jay Wright is the best-dressed coach in men's basketball. Even when he dresses down, he looks good, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He looks like a mafia don to me a little bit, so, and I'm sure he's a sweet guy, and I know, he and his wife are very much in love, and I got it and all that, but that's pretty special. But Villanova's really good. They play Villanova basketball. Kansas will play their basketball. Abaji is not a lottery pick maybe, but he's a first-round NBA draft choice. McCormick and Brown are too. Brown's one of those shooters that the NBA is going to love. And Kansas is probably too good. I'll tell you, before the tournament started, I thought the Big 12 was a really good conference, the best conference in basketball, but I didn't know if they would have elite teams that could make it to the Final Four. Then Baylor was the number one seed, Kansas is the number one seed, and Baylor's out, Baylor went, but here's Kansas, and they're in the Final Four. So sometimes you overanalyze things, and Kansas is good enough to win this thing, and they get the matchup with Villanova, and I like them against Villanova.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Love to connect with you online. You can join us on Twitter at eradiosportsinfo, at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. You can take us anywhere, anytime, 24/7. And I want to encourage all of our audience, check out James Hale, patreon.com. What are they going to find when they go there, Jay?
It's Die Hard Sooner Report, E, and it's all about Oklahoma, but there are some issues I take up in college football and we talk about. But if you want to know about the Oklahoma Sooners, if you want to know every day about how practice is going, what their meetings are going through, what's going on in the men's and women's basketball program, what's going on with their great softball program, baseball, anything that's going on at OU, we talk about it. They're short podcasts. They're not long. You're going to be able to come in and get your news. Check out and go do your deal. And that's what it's all about. It's a small donation to the organization. And I promise The only bad thing is you don't get to see Alyssa Walker's face on it, but you get my face. But, you know, you don't have to look at it very long. And most people listen in their car anyway when they're driving around, so they don't see me at all.
Oh, I love it. It's very informative, and I always appreciate your expert analysis. And we want to continue with that. So since you are right there in the state of Oklahoma, and Kansas's head coach, Bill Self, I mean, he's actually an Oklahoma State guy, advanced to his fourth Final Four trip with Kansas after beating Miami last Saturday. I'm just curious, James. I mean, you can give us the skinny on this. How has he been able to build a consistent contender with the Jayhawks? What's his secret sauce?
Well, first, he's had a blue blood. So every basketball player that's growing up, if he's going to play college basketball, that's one of the schools he wants to look at. The culture at Kansas, it's a basketball school. I thought it was, when all this was happening with the conference realignment and everything, Kansas was alarmed that basketball didn't really play in the conference realignment. It was more the television thing. But everybody wants Kansas because of their great basketball. And Bill's done a great job. He's continued to cultivate that. He goes after every elite player that's out there. They get their fair share of them. If an elite player hits the transfer portal and wants to stay in the game, he's going to look at Kansas. They sell out every game. The fog is absolutely amazing. A lot of us will make that trip just to look around that arena one time so we can say we've been in the fog, and I've been one of those guys that's done that. So they have that kind of reputation, that kind of mantra, and it's as good as a blue blood as any of the others, Duke, North Carolina, whoever you're going to look at to put in there. Kansas is one of those schools, and they're tough to beat. They're tough to match up with. They run their stuff. There's no secret how they're going to play. And I think Bill does a great job every year adjusting just a little bit for the talent that he has. And there's no mistaking that Bill knows X's and O's, and he knows how to coach. And, it's funny. They don't talk about defense at Kansas, but if he doesn't like how they're playing at half, he will talk to them nothing but defense, and he'll get into that and challenge them to play better in the second half. Then if they win, he'll come out and say, well, we guarded better in the second half. And I've heard him say that so many times. So Kansas is just that good. That's just who they are. And when you're a blue blood like that, even though a lot of guys just want to go to college that one year and go to pros, Kansas is a good squad to do that too.
Yeah, and I'm sure Bill Self, he says and communicates that to his team at a very high decibel. Tell me this, as far as his time when he was at Oklahoma State, what kind of player was he?
Oh, average. Just, most good coaches weren't great players, right? I mean, they were just average players. He started. He was pretty good. He was okay. He was average. There was no doubt, though, he wasn't going to the NBA and he was going into coaching. So he was that kind of player. So he was just okay. He played for Eddie Sutton. He's always had that coach, that mentor that he could rely on. His father was a great coach, God rest his soul.
Yes.
And Bill's always had these anchors that are coaches, so I don't think there's ever any doubt. But he was an okay player. He's a player, you'd want him on your team. He knew what he was doing. They didn't make mistakes. He was okay.
Are you surprised, though, that he didn't become eventually the head coach at Oklahoma State? I know he was an assistant there.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I know that every time that job's come open, they've thought about that. I think they've got a great guy in Mike Boynton right now, and I think he's going to do a great job. And, man, has he been hit with some obstacles that he didn't create. He didn't have any, he didn't cause any of those problems, and yet he's had to deal with them. Bill, when you're at Kansas, it's hard to leave. I know Roy Williams did and went to North Carolina, but North Carolina is another blue blood, and Roy was from North Carolina. Now that Bill's here at Kansas, unless the NCAA does eventually catch up to him, I think he's going to be a lifer here. And I don't know. I could see him down the road at Oklahoma State, but something would have to happen at Kansas that he'd have to leave.
It's going to be a fascinating matchup tonight, Kansas-Villanova. Let's have you hit on Duke, North Carolina. All I can say is this is going to be an emotional game, James.
Well, I paid attention to this a lot because of Brady Manick. Manick was a four-year starter at OU,
yeah,
and he was a really good player. No matter how good he was, the OU fans never seemed satisfied. And when the coaching change happened, when Lon retired and Porter Moser came in, I was hoping Brady would stay. But once he put his name in the transfer portal, he was curious who was going to respond to it. And when North Carolina did, he said, I get a chance to play at a Blue Blood. I get a chance to go play at North Carolina. Even though Oklahoma is the best basketball program in the NCAA that hasn't won a national championship. I mean, Oklahoma's a great basketball program. But North Carolina, with all their players, Michael Jordan, all those guys that have played there, you know, he just couldn't resist. And they've welcomed him in. He started every game. He's got the long hair back. He's got the beard back. You know, he's fit right in.
Uh-huh.
I think it took a while for all those blue bloods they have there, all those guys that are, you know, first-round draft choices to realize Brady's pretty good. Now, he's the key figure in their lineup. He's a stretch four. He doesn't have to guard the post anymore. And this has made North Carolina really good, I think. This is what's made them special. I think that, you know, North Carolina, you know, is a team that has a – they don't have a deep team. And when Brady got ejected, which I thought was an incredible bogus call, when he got ejected in the last game, I thought that, you know, Brady was really good, and that made for a lot of pot, you know, and Brady was going to score 40 in that game. You know, so they advance, you know, they get into the Final Four. Now you have this magical matchup. You know, Banchero for Duke, I mean, Duke's got their guys. I think Duke is really good. They've got size. It's almost like a perfect basketball team with the guards that they have and the size. They've got a guy that's going to be a lottery pick in the draft. You know, Wendell Moore is an outstanding, you know, player. Mark Williams is an outstanding player. All those guys are, you know, forward centers on this team, yet they are all NBA talents probably. And so this is going to be a great matchup. Brady played great in the conference championship game or in the last game for Coach K at Duke. Brady played great in that game. You know, Brady was the consistent factor. Then North Carolina was able to match Duke on the boards, and I think that surprised Duke. I think Duke's a little better. You know, that just doesn't mean that. I mean, that doesn't mean they're going to win the game. I think Brady is that good. Bocott is a really good forward that I think's, you know, averaged 16.5 a game. He's really good. They just don't have as many guys now. When you get into the postseason, I've talked to Billy Tubbs about this, the great Billy Tubbs, God rest his soul, Kelvin Sampson. I've talked to Lon Kruger. I've also been able to bend the ear of Porter Moser. When you get into the postseason, do you need a 10-man bench? They all say no, that you cut it back to 7 or 8. That's going to hurt some people's feelings. If you have to go deeper than that, you've got to hope that you've got that 9th guy, that 10th guy ready. But you go to 7 or 8. Okay, North Carolina has 7. That's all they're playing anyway. Duke goes a little bit deeper. They're still playing a 9-player bench. Most of those guys have a chance to play pro basketball somewhere, so it doesn't really matter. But that's what makes this matchup so special.
Hey,
I really think Duke's the best team, though.
Our Final Four conversation continues with CBS Sports Radio Network James Hale after this quick break.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Our one Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. We're getting you ready for the Men's Final Four tonight with James Hale from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. You just mentioned Oklahoma's first-year head coach, Porter Moser. Give us your final thoughts on how the season played out. Some of the takeaways, James.
Well, it's disappointing they didn't get into the NCAA tournament. That bad stretch in the Big 12 cost them, and they came up one win short. If they, you know, they lost to Texas Tech by a point in the Big 12 tournament. If they had won that game, they would have made it. Then they got beat by St. Bonnie, who made it all the way to the Final Four in the NIT. And so it's not a great year for Porter in his first year, but he's established a culture. He's full of enthusiasm. I think he's a great find by Joe Castiglione. They've got 3 really good recruits coming in. You know, I think they will hit the transfer portal and try to get another good big into the program or a stretch forward that they could get into the program to add. Harkless is coming back. We're still waiting to see what Mo Gibson is going to do. I think Mo's exploring whether or not he can make some money overseas and some other things. And I wouldn't be surprised, though, if he doesn't come back. So you would have a lot of guys. So far, the freshmen have hung in there. So it looks like he's going to add. He's adding three four-star players, a 6'5 point guard, a 6'4 shooting guard, and a 6'7 Euro forward. Schroeder, the forward, averaged 29 points a game in the under 18 league in Germany. And that's against grown men. You know, I mean,
wow.
You know, you're playing against some pros.
That's impressive, yeah.
You know, so I like what he's building here. You have to watch the transfer portal and see who hangs in and who doesn't. You know, but so far he hasn't lost anybody, and he's adding three really good players. And I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't add a guy in the transfer portal. But I think he's a great fit for OU, and I think OU's fortunate to have him.
Okay, James, we got about 60 seconds. Spring break, or spring football is underway. Spring practice, that is. Talk to us. I mean, what have you seen so far?
Well, there's no doubt that Brent Venables has changed the culture. It's all about commitment. It's all about the program. It's all about the love between the players and the coaches. It's about the development. It's about, you know, let us do our job as coaches to develop you as players. Hang in here. Don't transfer. Hang in. And yet, you know, they've just spent, you know, 10 scholarships on the transfer portal. And they know the transfer portal is going to play. This looks like a pretty good football team. Dylan Gabriel with Jeff Lebby's offense looks like it's going to be magical. They've got skill guys. The defense, it's going to take a while to get the Brent Venables defensive scheme. But I like them. I think they're really good, and I think it's going to be. I think they're going to be a good football team this upcoming season.
Hey, already a big fan of Brent Venables. If you're having a down day,
Absolutely.
Just love his energy. He'll get you fired up real
right.
quick.
That's exactly right.
Hey, CBS Sports Radio Network, we love him. That is James Hale, host of Total Sports on 105.3 in Oklahoma City.